goes all the way back to me drafting Michael Finley. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I think everybody realizes and understands, you know, the importance of trying to work it out, possibly keep him here. Second, if there's a decision that he wants to go somewhere else, then how can we work together to benefit not only the player, to the tune of the extra $32.5 million or thereabouts. That's an estimate, but it's close. And what we can do to, you know, take care of the team, because it hasn't been a one-way street. It's been a two-way street. It's a great relationship. I think there's a certain amount of loyalty that's built up both ways. Again, you know, he's the right kind of person to be having this kind of conversation
with.
Have I ever had a business? No, they're all business. But, you know, just in terms of the volume of deals in such a short window of time, it was pretty hectic. But if you even go back to the first year I was here, the first summer, it was almost the same volume of deals, starting with, I think, the Hoffa for Humphreys deal. That was kind of like the Capone for Reggie Evans deal.
And then it just...
But my point is, it initiated the process. Then you get into the draft. Then you get into you know, free agency and summer league, and then suddenly you're signing deals. And I think you guys were pretty upset with me because we were having a press conference like every other day that first year. But it's the same kind of thing. I mean, we didn't have as many press conferences this year because some of the guys weren't available to come over because they were either other parts of the world, or it just didn't make sense. We knew they'd be here at some point at media day and take care of those things.
You ever get any downtime?
A little bit, yeah, of course. You got to do that. You got to stay sane. But you know, even when you take downtime, in our business, it's 24/7 all the time. So it's you know, whether you're taking calls or putting out fires or dealing with other issues, it's all the time.
Brian, you talked about fan expectations and not knowing what they are. You bring in 9 new guys. Actually, you like all 9 guys.
Seen them all play yet together. So,
but you like these deals. What do you expect from this team?
Well, expectations are obviously we're going to be much improved over a 33-unit team last year. And beyond that, you know, I've never been one to put a number on it. I've got some personal numbers that I would say I would like to hit. You know, obviously this market demands more than just making the playoffs. You want to be in put yourself in a position to advance. We clearly have an expectation and a desire to get back to the playoffs, but I want to be in a position where we're healthy enough and prepared enough that you know, we're challenging for a second round. You know, advancing to the second round. That means you're probably putting yourself in a position for the fourth or fifth seed. You know, again, if you're setting targets, that's where you want to be. And there's a pretty big middle class in the Eastern Conference right now. If you take Boston, Cleveland, Orlando, and just set them aside for a minute because they've had the most recent success. You know, I think, you know, Washington is the team that probably is the most improved without doing anything major. They did make a deal with Minnesota to acquire a couple veteran players, but just by virtue of Gilbert Arenas coming back, you know, puts them in a good position. They did, you know, make a coaching change. So you got some changes, and you'll see how all that works out. But, you know, they're interesting. You know, they're interesting. Atlanta, obviously. Miami, you know, us. You know, where does everyone stack up? I think, you know, it's going to be the 82 games that are scheduled that are going to determine just how good we are. Hopefully we stay injury-free at the time when it matters most, and that's during the regular season. And hopefully we're healthy when the playoffs come around, which is even more important in terms of being ready and prepared. But, you know, we're... hopefully moving in the right direction, and you know, all these changes have put us in a position to at least start fresh while maintaining our 3 core guys. And you know, you can argue that the core got even stronger with the addition of a player like Hito. You know, Hito comes in and you know, immediately jumps probably into, you know, the top 1 or 2 players that we have, you know, in terms of, you know, top 2 or 3 players, I should say, we've raised the stakes of the core, if you will. We've raised the you know, the potency of that group, and we'll see where it takes us. The bench is deeper. We've addressed a lot of areas of concern where we thought we just weren't adequately covered. And, you know, if it's any indication, what I've seen in a few days in informal scrimmaging, you know, the guys that we brought in are going to make a difference. If we need to stop someone on the perimeter, I guarantee you Antoine Wright's going to be on the floor at some point. If we need to grab some rebounds or change the flow of a game, I guarantee you Reggie Evans is going to be out there in some regard. You know, just even some of the younger players getting better because of what those players are going to do in the way of setting an example. Reggie Evans came in and had such an impact on the flow of 2 days of scrimmaging that, you know, the first day, I have to say, Andrea, who was unfortunately the recipient of his defense and his toughness and his grit, you know, at some point got a little frustrated. Well, imagine if he's doing that to his own teammates, what he's going to be doing to other guys.
Just raising in terms of intensity.
Yeah. So the second day, Andrea was a completely different player. It's like he was mentally and emotionally prepared to go in and fight Reggie, and he knew it was coming. And some of the things that he was able to do to combat that was you know, quite telling. I mean, at least he responded. You know, he didn't throw the flag up and walk away. He responded to the challenge. And that means Reggie Evans, whether he's on the court or not during a 48-minute game, is going to have an impact on this team one way or the other. Because he's going to make everybody on that practice court fight for every single loose ball, every rebound. It's going to make everybody better. And, you know, if he's the guy doing it in games, then maybe he'll be the guy playing those minutes.
Given everything that you've handed Jay, in terms of you've addressed a lot of different components of this team, and he's from nine new guys up there.
Yeah.
Is it both a blessing and a curse for him because he's got more talent, but he's got to mix together a lot of guys in a not the easiest system to fit guys together?
Well, I think it's you know, a little bit overstated that now it's up to Jay. You know, it's his doing. Look, we're a team. Everything we do is together, and this is the way it should be. A coach and a GM should always be in sync, and we're in sync with all of our ideals, philosophies, etc. And what Jay is doing this year, some of the things, you know, are going to be new processes, new policies. You know, that was all because that's what Jay wanted to do, and I'm in sync with that. But with respect to, okay, now the roster's remade, and it's never remade entirely. I've always said it's a work in progress. So if we need to make some adjustments along the way, we will. I'm not saying we've got all the answers. I'm not saying the roster's complete. I just ran out of players to trade. But the point is, you know, Jay's a first-year head coach, you know, from a standpoint of this is his first training camp. He's going in. He's more prepared than any coach I've ever seen for a training camp in terms of the work that's been done, the strategy, the thinking. I'm telling you, it's been so impressive to see the way the staff is working together. I feel better. I have to say this. I feel better about this training camp and the start and the preparation that's gone on than I have in a long time. And I've been doing this for, you know, 14 previous seasons. So I'm excited about that. I think that, you know, Jay's put himself in a position to succeed. I think the roster is going to help him. But if I'm a coach, I want as many tools as possible to try to make that work.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a blessing and a curse. I think more than anything, we've worked together to shape this roster and to put everything in place so that he would have those tools, but I'm fully willing, as you know, to make changes if necessary to address things that come up along the way. But we've made a lot of other changes. We, you know, made some enhancements to our video technology and what we're doing there. We've changed some other processes along the way. We've done a little bit of everything to try to give him as many resources as possible to do what's right. And again, we're not stopping. If nothing's complete until we hoist a championship trophy.
What does your level of excitement translate into? Just because you're excited.
Thanks for coming, buddy.
Just because you're excited doesn't mean, you know what I mean? Is that like when you went into seasons up, even into training camps off 16 for the season?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? What's excited mean in terms of
accomplishment? Well, I think, you know, there's only one way to go right now, and that's up after a 33-win season. I kind of liken it to the first year I got here, and there was so much change that nobody really knew what we had, and then it kind of magically came together. But, you know, it clearly is something, as a 60-win team, you're not looking to blow everything up unless you've got some significant contract issues that are on your plate with respect to free agency and things of the like. But, you know, in this regard, we had no choice but to make major significant changes, and we set out to do that, addressing all those needs and areas of concern that we have. Again, on paper, it looks pretty good, and we're excited about what those changes mean on paper. Even just looking at, if you just hypothetically put a third string down, that third string basically was in the second line last year, or the second column last year. So that in and of itself, we've added so much NBA experience, so much other talent that we feel we've improved in certain areas that you can't help but be a little bit excited going into the season saying, oh, we won 33 games last year. You know, what's the target? What are we shooting for? And I just said, you know, what I'd really like to do is put ourselves in a position to advance in the playoffs, advance in the second round. So clearly there's a goal making the playoffs, but I'd like to think a goal would be to try to, you know, come up with a top four seed, a fourth or a fifth, puts you in a much better position than a 6, 7, or 8. You know, so that's a goal. You know, how many wins does that take? Well, the number doesn't really matter, but I always want to beat something previously, and, you know, 47 is the franchise record, which we've done once before, or twice before now. I'd like to think that, you know, if there's a way to beat that number. But if you look at this and say, what's it going to take to be a fourth or fifth seed? I think you've got to be at a minimum of 50 games. So are you shooting for, you know, a target of 50 games? Yeah, I think that's what we should be realistically looking at. And again, things are going to happen along the way. You know, we've already had two little situations come up. Chris's hamstring, Ito coming back from the European Championship, but we're still 30 solid days away from starting the whole, you know, the important campaign, which is the, you know, the ones that matter, and we'll see where it takes us. But are we genuinely excited? Yeah, because I think there's so much of an unknown right now with this game. I'm excited just about that, but I'm also excited about what I see in terms of the process and the preparation and the things that have gone into this startup.
Of all the players that you brought in, talk about some one person you think that's going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, I think, you know, Reggie didn't play a lot last year, so he's going to have an opportunity to have an impact, again, especially if he can do some of the things I've seen him do early on. And then, you know, you look at Marco Bellinelli, he's coming basically off of a zero season where he had maybe a span of about 30 days, 20 games, where he was pretty spectacular. I'd like to think that he's going to be given much more time, much more opportunity. He's going to take advantage of it because I've seen that guy absolutely score the basketball, and that's something that we have not had a lot of scoring punch coming off the bench. And whether or not he starts or comes off the bench, obviously, is yet to be determined, but I'd like to think that he's going to be a guy that is either a most improved candidate or someone, if he is coming off the bench, could qualify for a sixth man of the year, or might even be a Jared Jack coming off and say, you know, playing that sixth man role, whoever it is. But I think if you're asking me who are the guys that are probably going to have the biggest impact based on opportunity of what, in terms of surprising what they did last year from where they were last year, Marco and probably Reggie. But look for Jared to either, you know, duplicate what he did last year or even get better, but it's going to be a bigger jump for him to make that splash that maybe a Marco Bellinelli or a Reggie Evans might make, because they're going to get much more time. And then, you know, you look at everybody else. Amir Johnson played, you know, important minutes for a pretty good team. You know, Amir's a guy that, you know, we haven't had this happen in a while, but on the practice court the other day, Sonny Weems seems to attack the basket every time he even gets remotely close. And he literally is about a foot and a half over the rim, and someone meets him at the top. Who was that someone? It was Amir Johnson. But it was a play on both the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball that we haven't seen in a while. And, you know, to have that kind of opportunity, you know, to maybe see it out there on the court is going to be exciting for our fans, too.
When you grabbed Amir, were you looking at Weems, too, saying this is somebody who was a high flyer in college who probably didn't get a chance to play?
I'll tell you, honestly, you know, that was one of those pieces that, you know, had to go into the deal. There was actually, they were trying to get us to take another one, but we didn't take it. But the deal was made on the premise that, you know, he would be part of it. I have liked him going all the way back to the evaluation of the draft, where we talked about his upside and potential because of his sheer athleticism. I got more excited about it after the deal was agreed to, because I talked to Tim Gergerich, who coached him out in Denver, who had nothing but great things to say about the kid. And he said, as much as everybody wants to make him this offensive player and utilize his athletic talents that way, I get more excited of him being a defensive presence.
Ask him about that,
because he can really guard. He's got long arms. He's quick. You know, a la James Posey-ish. You know, when James Posey came into the league, he really couldn't shoot the ball as well as he did later in his career. And Sonny has now, you know, gotten to be a much better shooter. But you know, he's got same body type. You know, long arms. He's out there passing lanes. Gets his hands on a lot of things. Just on some of the things that I've seen, whether it was scouting summer league this year, and even in summer league this year, I remember a couple of times stopping a conversation. Did you see that? He's really a prolific player, and you know, he did very well in the D League last year. He is the one player that's eligible to go down to the D League this year for marking. Actually, two if you throw DeMar in there, and we'll see if that makes some sense at some point. But the bottom line is, he's a young talent, and if taken care of the right way and if worked with the right way, he could become a piece. But the deal wasn't made for Sonny, just to be clear.
Brian, Tito obviously was the big piece this summer when you think about all the changes you made. And you talked earlier about how, you know, Chris is the kind of player you want to have on your team. Obviously, to sign Tito, the 5-year deal you did, you think Tito is one of those players too. What is it about him?
Well, obviously, free agency is a different animal. When you talk about, you know, signing a player that you know and you have in your within your roster, you know, you can make those decisions like we did with Jose Calderon. We wanted to make sure he stayed with us, and we knew a lot about him. You know, the Hito piece, you know, I've been watching him play ball for a long time, whether at the international level or here. I've always liked his game. I thought he had great basketball savvy. I thought he makes great decisions. He's a playmaking wing, if you will, that can play multiple positions. And, you know, give him the ball, he's going to make a play. We haven't had a guy like that in a while. A guy down the stretch of a game to make some decisions like that, whether it's creating a shot for himself or creating a shot for someone else. He's a guy that, you know, is going to greatly enhance our basketball IQ at the end of a basketball game, not to mention with his talent, his ability to make big shots. The guy's a gamer. So, you know, if 5 years is what it took, that's what we were gonna do. And there was another 5-year deal on the table, and that's what free agency produced for him as a talent. So that's what we gave.
As a player who's 30 at the moment, I mean, was there any concern that
no.
with 31?
No. Sorry. He's 30, and there was no concern about his age, no.
Do you think he's the kind of his game?
I wasn't concerned about giving Steve Nash a 5 or a 6-year deal at the age of 30, and he far exceeded anybody's expectations. And, you know, that kind of decision is made because, again, the market bears what it does, and, you know, that there was a 5-year deal in place.
How
but,
are they similar?
You know, 35-year-old players are 35-year-old players. I don't think, in a similar way to Steve, I don't think Steve ever did it with his pure athletic talents. Athletic attributes. It was more pure and what he did to prepare himself for the game of basketball. Guy's just he's a competitor. But Tito is going to be, in the same way, a very smart player. He's going to make the right decisions. He's going to get people the ball when they need the ball, and he's going to make big shots and big plays when he needs to. That's just the kind of player he is, and he's proven to be over the course of his career, both here in the NBA and also overseas.
And at the time of the Nash deal, you got a lot of criticism for that because, you said, you know, because guards don't tend to age well, but obviously he aged very well in that respect. So do you see, like, as you say, you see Hito as being a cerebral type of player, the kind of player whose age is less relevant than a high flyer? Or?
He's definitely not a high flyer, but he is a cerebral, talented basketball player, and talent comes in many forms. Decision making, playmaking, he's got all that. He's 6'10". He can handle the ball like a two guard. So I've got to say that his versatility is going to be his biggest attribute, but also his mindset out there on the court. He's not afraid to take big shots at the right time and hopefully help us win some big basketball games.
Had you had your eye on Hito for a while?
Yeah, all the way. I tried to sign him back in Phoenix. You know, that was all documented this summer. And, finally got him, and you know, he's the right mix for this city, for this team. It was the right piece at the right time.
And when, with the Portland situation, were you guys sort of holding your breath to see which way things were going to go?
There was a moment where we were not even in the game, and then there was what seemed like a very long moment when we were holding our breath, but it was only a period of about 24 to 36 hours, and ultimately it fell in our favor, and we got it wrapped up. But it's one of those things that, you know, you look back on, it was an exciting time, but it landed the right way.
What about the other moment I was thinking of holding your breath was at the draft when things started to shake up in New York with Minnesota. Were you holding your breath a bit about DeMar?
Actually, when Johnny Flynn got picked right after Ricky Rubio, we kind of knew we were going to get at least one of the guys that we really wanted. So, and DeMar was, you know, the guy we had in our crosshairs, and it worked out favorably that way, especially with what was going on at 7 and 8 ahead of us. So.
Right, outside of Hedo.